We're about 15 lines down from the top. The son of an almana came and asked, that means his father died, right? Then he came and asked Rabbi Eliezer, Abba Omer Hashkeni Mayim. Yim Omer Hashkeni Mayim. So if both the mother and the father ask you simultaneously, I guess, or whatever, to get you a drink of water, Izmeim Kodem. Which one's first? Right, which one's first? Do you first get the drink for your mother, or you first get the drink for your father? Okay. So, Amar Lei, Hanach Kavodimcha ve'asei Kavod Avicha. So you should leave the Kavod of your mother and do the Kavod of your father. In other words, get your father first. She'atav Imcha chayav mechavod Avicha. Okay. Because you and your mother are both obligated in honoring your father. So therefore, you should do to your father first. Okay? Question? I mean, this question came up, is where do you see that a woman's chayav and kavod of her husband? Okay? Does the Rambam say that anywhere? Right. So the Rambam is interesting. I mean, it is interesting. But it's basically an ishus. At the end of Perek Tezvav, he discusses the attitude a man and wife should have to each other. Okay? And first he says that a woman should be a tsnua. She should be a tsnua in her house. Okay, fine. And then he says, v'chein, then he has two things. He has both sides. How the man should relate, starts with how the man should relate to his wife, and then how the wife should relate to her husband. He says, v'chein tzivu chachamim she'e odam mechaberist ishto yoser megufa. So a man should be mechabed his wife more than he is mechabed himself. Okay? The ohava kigufa. And he should love her like himself. Okay? He should mechabed her more than himself, and he should love her like himself. V'im yishol mamon harbe, if he has a lot of money, marbe b'tavasa kfimona. He should do the amount of good to her according to his money. The more money, the more he should do for her. The lo yatel aloha ema yisera. And also he should not place upon her fear. And ema yisera. A little fear is good, but not too much fear. Ema yisera. V'ya diburu ima v'nachas. And he should be talk with her, you know, quite calmly. V'lo ye atzav lo ragzan. He shouldn't get, like, angry. Shouldn't have a temper. So he has an ear that a man should be mechabed his wife more than himself. The question is, what does that mean? Does that mean he has to get her drinks? Does that mean, right? It's a good question. Okay, now then the next halach he says like this. V'chein tzivu, this is by the way, in the end of practice as well, you're tasnia and chaf. V'chein tzivu al ha'isha shetia mechabedes es baila biyoser midai. She should honor her husband more than is sufficient. Yoser midai, extra, over the top. And she should have a fear of him. And she should do all her actions by his word. Okay? And he should be in her eyes like a sar, like a prince, or a melech, like a king. He goes in the taivas of his heart. And she distances anything which he hates. Okay? And this is the derech of both male and female Jews in their marriage. And through this, they'll have a good marriage. Now, it sounded like, even though he said kavod by both of them, I mean, it sounded like he's specific by the kavod of an isha, means that she should basically do all his needs. She should do all her actions by what he says, you know, and she should bring close whatever he wants, and you know, she should further, you know, anything he hates, she should push away, right? Treat him like he should be like a melech or a sar, you know. So that sounds like it's referring to, like, if he says, "Get me a drink of water," it would sound like from there. I mean, at least for this Gemara, it would sound like you could back it up in this Rambam. Even though in the Rambam said, "V'chintu v'chashin v'chaber es ishto yoser megufo," you could say that also means that, but I mean, on the surface, it doesn't. He doesn't seem to say like he this. He doesn't. I don't know, it's a question what that means exactly. He should honor her, more, respect her more than his guff. Like that sounds to be more like a different kind of respect, you know? Like, respect her. You should respect her, as opposed to uncovered by the wife. It sounds like it really means like to do stuff for him, you know? And it sounds that way. And if you look on the bottom here, they say in Chav, the Magid Mishnah quotes our Gemara. It says that a woman should, you know, should do this kavod. So he quotes our Gemara: "Shasha atava imcha chayev mekavod aviv." Says he quotes another Gemara. Also, I think from our Gemara you could conclude that the kavod that the father that they give to each other is not equal. That the mother, for instance, the kavod of getting him a drink. Would be included in one of the things that a wife would have to do for her husband. But the kavod, but you wouldn't say the same thing for a husband getting a wife a drink. When it says that he should honor her, he should respect her, it would seem, at least from our Gemara, Thoron learns our Gemara, it would seem that doesn't include to get her a drink. And what does it mean? I don't know exactly. Some sort of a respect. I don't know, you know, respect, you know. But that's what it seemed that. That's what I was going to have to learn. I mean, because of what is this? Is this just advice? Most of it sounds like this comes under Ishos. There's an institution called Ishos of marriage, which the Torah recognizes, and it would seem to be their responsibilities, mutual responsibilities in Ishos. This is part of the responsibilities of a wife. A husband, for instance, has to give her clothing, has to give her food, has to give her tashma shemita, and the wife has responsibilities also in terms of to her husband. I mean, I guess. It would seem like this comes under. There is a framework of, you know, vicious. I mean, it would seem that they would come under this. You know? That's what it would seem. There also lists a specific chiyuvim she has. To make food, certain. There are other things. But it seems like this is just a general idea of part of the relationship is that she's like, you know, she's ta'isa kol ma'iseha al piv. I mean, she does all of her actions by his mouth. So that presumably means if he says, get me a drink, she says, okay, fine. Where should I put it? Right? But it doesn't seem like that by the husband, it doesn't say he does all his actions by her mouth. So the kavod there, I mean, it's a good question. So it's worth this. It would be an interesting analysis to go into what these things mean. But I'm just saying, presumably, here's where it is in the Rambam. You know where it is in the Rambam. I mean, I'm not saying I fully understand all the things in the Rambam here, but it seems there that seems to be the premise of our Gemara. The Gemara's not questioning that. That it seems to be is that a wife is chayef to get her husband a drink of water. So therefore, if a mother and father simultaneously ask for a drink of water from the child, so the child says, what should I do? I have to go with my father, because my mother's also chayav and cover my father. Okay? Any other questions? I mean, that's the question. The question, I think, is what does that have to do with it? I mean, I am equally responsible to both my father and my mother. Now, it's true. My mother has to do stuff for my father, but what does that do with me? That's not my question. All I'd have a question is right now. They both say, get me a drink. Now the question is what do I have to listen to? So they're equal, it would seem. So who cares that my mother has responsibilities? That's not my issue. My issue is that I am equally commanded by both of them. Right? Like, how is that the decide? That's not the determinant. Why does that have anything to do with it? She's saying she wants a drink. And he says, maybe she shouldn't be saying that or whatever. That's our problem. But she's saying, she says, I want a drink right now. And the father says, I want a drink right now. Now, who cares about her? Who cares about her chiyuv? How does that factor into my chiyuv? That's our chiyuv. But my chiyuv is to listen to both of them. Right. And it doesn't seem like there's a difference between the levels of the thing. Right? That's the question. I mean, it is a question. That's the question that you have to ask. I mean, it's just, it has to be explained. What's the logic here? So I was thinking the Jake's lines. Okay? That there is that. Let's say, for instance, my father had. Let's say I know my father takes the trash out. You know, let's see, that's what he does. He takes the trash out. That's his job in the house. Okay, among others. Okay, and I decide. You know what? I'm going to take trash out for him. So now he doesn't have to do it. So would that be covered?
Sure.
So it seems sure. I mean. But the Rambam, that's not. See, if you look at the kavod, I mean, the primary din of kavod is like taking care of his needs,
right.
And like you feed him, right. His primary needs, you know. But it would seem that that's also like doing that, which by so to speak, pottering him, getting him off the hook from doing something which he would have to do, is also like a secondary method. It's kava. Right, it's a form of kava. It seems to be like that's like a secondary form of kava. The primary kava is take care of his needs. I'm not taking care of his needs. He doesn't have a need to take to have me to take out the garbage or whatever. But he has to do this thing, and I am easing him of his responsibilities. Right? So that would also be kava to my father. Right? Okay. So now let's say, for instance, my mother has a responsibility to not take the garbage, but to get my father drinks. Right? To get my father drinks. But she actually does. Right? So now when I get my father a drink, let's say I say, you know, Mom, I know you have to do it, but I'm going to do it for you. So would you say that that's covered for the mother? So it seems by that same logic, what's the difference if it's a drink or taking out the garbage? Notice that's her responsibility, and I am doing it for her. Right? So by getting my father a drink, I'm really, primarily, it's covered for my father. Because I'm taking care of his need to drink water. He's getting, you know, he has to drink. But in a secondary manner, I'm taking care of cover for my mother,
right.
Because I am obviating her of her responsibility. Mm-hmm. She's off the hook now. She doesn't have to do that, right? Versus if I would give a cover to my mother, if I'd get her the drink, I'd be doing cover to her, taking care of her need. But it wouldn't be any cover for my father.
Right.
So it's not even comparison. So as you have, you're faced with being covered for your father primarily, which has a secondary kiyum of kavod for the mother, versus just primarily kiyum for the mother, with nothing for the father. So the father's going to win out. Right? Because that has a dimension of kiyum, it's a dimension of kiyum kavod of both of them. Right? This is a face-off problem. This is a question. It's like, so if that, by this logic, you should say, let's say my father asked me to get a drink and my grandfather asked me to get a drink. Right? Father's gonna get a drink, grandfather's gonna get a drink. So you should say, oh, my grandfather, my father's chazim b'chav, my grandfather. So therefore I should get it from my grandfather. Right, by this logic, it seems to be the same thing, but that's not the case. Yeah, exactly. That's not the case because, see, there's no chiv of kibbut of your grandfather. I mean, per se. Right, so here you have a chiv primarily to satisfy the need of your father, and then like a secondary responsibility to the father of getting him off as a responsibility. So the primary thing is obviously going to take precedence. But here, it's a primary thing for your father and a primary thing for your mother. You're chiving both their primary needs.
Right.
So now, the tiebreaker, so to speak, is that it's also covered for your mother to get your father the drink. They say is that an eved, the Ram has that. That part of kavod is you do things that an eved would do for his master. So that's what an eved would do, is to do the chores for his master, so his master didn't have to do certain chores. I mean, that's part of kavod. Kavod is you take care of do their responsibilities. That's kavod. So let's go further. Okay, so we're further in the Gemara. It says, Bolifnei Rabbi Yeshua. So then he came, this Ben Almana, came and asked Rabbi Yeshua the same question. Amar lo kach. He said to him the exact same thing. Same answer. Rabbi Yeshua, Heshev lo kedach sheshev lo Rabbi Eliezer. So the same way Rabbi Eliezer answered him, Rabbi Yeshua answered him. Okay? So Omar lo, Rabbi, he said to him, Rabbi, wu nisgar shamahu, let's say they get divorced. Right? As now, all of a sudden, your tiebreaker is gone. Because now your mother is not obligated to honor your father because they're not married. It's part of marriage. But if they're not married, so then basically they're two free agents, each of which you have an obligation to be able to honor, to take care of their primary needs. There's no secondary responsibilities. They have no responsibilities towards one another. So now this is really the question. I know you got a cheap way out of the question. Right? He was asking, basically, when it had to have a collision, what happens? Now, he answered him by, there's like a technicality involved. So, therefore, but let's say they're divorced and it's really head on. Right? So, he says, Amar lei mi ben risei einecha nikar sheben almana ata. He says, from your, what does it literally mean? His eye? From the Cyrus Sheba Sheba Sura Sheba Shuro's Kisayan. So it's like from his eyelashes, I think. His
eyelids.
Right? His eyelids. Rashi says, and as I could tell that you're a Yasam. As I guess Rashi says, Cyrus Sheba Shuro's Kisayan ata nikar Shisa Yasam. That you're an orphan, Vinashu Risei Enechem and Abechi. And you cried so much that your eyelids fell out. Eyelids, right? Okay. So it shows that crying causes your eyelids to come out. So so basically saying is, I could tell, Shemena Manata, Velot Sarach Atel Maisa. I could tell that basically, yeah, I know you. Yeah, this isn't a practical question. I know, obviously, you're one, at least one of your parents. I mean, Yassim, I guess, Yassim could be only from
Yassim,
one,
no,
I think.
Yassim
could be one or the other. And it's a Belmamana. It sounds like his mother was still alive. His father wasn't alive. So it says, but I could tell, basically, that this isn't a practical question, because this question only exists if you have two parents. But if one of your parents is dead, this isn't a question. And I could tell that that you're kind of the guy, you cried so much that obviously one of your parents is dead. So you really are not asking a practical question, I could tell. Ella Lomod Basa. Rather, you're just asking this question, because a conceptual question, you just want to know what's the, you know, Svara or whatever. Ve'ani Omar Lecha, and I'm going to tell you, Shekovach Neim Shava Lecha. Okay, that basically that they're two, that they're equal. Okay, and he explains. Say the Gemara. So it says, Merisinetha Nikara Shemen Almanata, Hata Lahem Mayim Besafal, Ve'kaka Lahem Kit Tarnagolam. So you should put water for them in a
basin.
Okay, it's like in a whatever
basin.
They're cuckling kind of, and you like cuckoo for them or whatever, like cuckle, how you do for roosters. Okay, the way karkalam, kamosha karkalam tarnagolam. Apparently, when you give the tarnagolam food, water, you put out the water in the middle, and then you just make some sort of a karkaling noise. Okay, so that's what you should do. Okay? It's funny, right? Well, the fish aloyot sarach lasos, and since the guy didn't have to do this, v'hushalo kamosha olav lasos, but he asked it, pretend like it was a way implying, he came to him, that sounded like it was a really practical question, but he didn't really. Right. It wasn't true. So, Omar li, abba v'ima, right? I mean, he said to him, if my mother says it, my father says this. He didn't just ask a theoretical question if one's mother says, you know. So, since he did that, he shivu b'lashon tzchok. So, therefore, he answered him in a joking manner. Okay? Whatever that means. What does that mean? It's a question. What's he talking about? Is he saying, because he asked him in this funny manner, therefore he answered him in a joke?
What's the funny
What's the joke, first of all? I don't get it.
Well,
and assuming it is a joke, if he would have asked them regularly, then what would he have said? And he wouldn't have said this joke about the roosters, then he just would have told them they're equal. He would have said they're equal. But since he asked him in this funny, in a way, which has sounded like disingenuous a little bit,
right.
So he decided he'd put it in a joke. Like, what's the deal? I don't get it. Like, what's the cause and effect? So what's the punchline, though? Or even out of the joke of the halacha? Basically, they're equal, right? Basically, they're equal. So what should you do? So what should you do, practically? So let's say that happens. So when your parents, both their parents, ask, you know, what should you do? Okay. So the Torah, the question is, what's the practical? What do you do? So the Torah, it's in the Siman Reish Mem. I guess if you have the new ones, it's in Sif Yud Daled. Okay, it says, Omer lo aviv hashkeni mayim, v'yim omer aslo hashkeni mayim, miniach hasim avosik v'kavad aviv, shagam imo chayves v'kavad aviv. So basically, you got to do the father because the mother's chayav tana the father. But if they get divorced, us shnehem shavin lekablam zekazad. Then they're both equal. Okay, then they're both equal. Okay, so he says like this. So there was the Beis Yossi says the Rif left out this whole thing that if it's shnehem shavin. Okay, the Ram also didn't. So he says why? Because really, you see, the reason why you do your father first is because the mother has to respect the father. So the clear implication is, but if that's not true, so then it doesn't matter. Then they're equal. Right? I mean, they don't even have to write it. That's the clear halacha. Because in explaining the reason, that the reason is because they're both chayv and kavod, so therefore the Ram held, basically saying the Ram didn't have to write the halacha that they're equal. Okay? But he says, Rabbeinu Yerucham says, that if they get divorced, then the shnehem shavim, v'nosein mayim besafal v'omer lahem bo'u lishtos, v'lo yakdim echel l'chavera. Okay? Basically, the Rabbeinu Yerucham holds that he really means, literally, you have to do this. Because the question is, if you just read the halacha, they're both equal. So what do you do? So I'd say is, you gotta choose, flip a coin, I don't know, whatever. You give it to one, there's no... Yeah, there's no kadima, basically. Basically, it means, you think it means there's no kadima, and you do whichever one. So, I mean, you can't do them both simultaneously. So you just do whatever. You do one, then you do the other. Right? But, and when he said this thing with, you know, the roosters, he basically was saying that, like Raj said, there's no priorities. Right? There's no priorities here. So, right, but the Ben Yerucham is saying, no, on the contrary, you really cannot give to one before the other. It's awesome. You're not allowed to do it. Rather, you really have to do is put it in the middle and tell them, come get drinks. You really have to do that. You really cannot, according to Ben Yerucham, you have no right to put it, to give it to one and as opposed to the other. Then he says, then the basis of it, in Nerucham came into very Rashi, Elik Moshe Ksafti. But he says, from Rashi, it doesn't seem that way. From Rashi, it seems that you have right, you can choose whichever one you want. And how do you see that from Rashi? I think the Marshal asks that on the Space Yosef. He says, where does he see that from Rashi? Where does Rashi say? Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi just says, it's Kavod Shneim Shav Malacha. They're both equal. So where does it say that you have a right to choose? It doesn't say you have a right to choose. Maybe you don't have a right to choose. Maybe you really have to, you know, to do this Rusta thing.
Right.
Okay, fine. So that's the question. That's the one question. One question is, so where does he see it from Rashi, right? That's the question. But it turns out, basically, the way the Beis Yosef is learning is there's a machlokas. So machlokas is in the case where your parents are divorced, so what do you do? Do you say whatever you want? Doesn't really matter. There's no priorities, no precedent. It doesn't make any difference. Or do you say the Ben Yerucham that it really means, literally, you can't favor either one, right? That's machlokas. Right? We have to define that machlokas. Okay, you got everybody got the facts, everyone? Okay. That's another thing to explain, right? How do you get it from Rashi? What's the machlokas? And then also, what's this joke deal? Right, what's this Rashi talking about with this joke, you know? What do you mean, he's being a joke? Because, I mean, what's the joke? And only because he's not asking Lily, therefore he's asking a joke? Like, what's going on there, you know? I mean, I guess the primary question is what's the machlokas, right? I mean, that's really a halachic question. Yeah, so the Beis Yosef is saying in the Rambam and the Rif is that if Rambam and the Rif held that specifically, you can't favor one versus the other, then they'd have to bring that down. So in other words, they don't hold that way. He's saying all they bring down is that you do the father first because the mother is chayav to honor the father. The implication is if you don't have that, then it doesn't matter. And as if the Rambam held that there was really a halacha, a positive halacha here, that you have to do them equal and you can't favor them, then the Rambam should have it. The Rambam and the Rif should bring it down. But since they didn't bring it down, they just said is that this basically the halacha is you follow the father because the mother has to honor him. And the implication is if you don't have that, then you don't have that. And then it's just whatever. It's a toss-up. It's a toss-up. Okay, so we're going to get some facts for the next thing. But let's skip a little bit here. There's a little bit of agata here we're going to skip. And now we're going to go very interesting. Something which you'd think might be an agata, but the Rambam really brings it down. It says, Bo mine. So you see the start, last one in the line, Bo mine?
No.
Bo mine miravula. Bo is the last word on the line. A few lines down. 10 lines down from where we are. Bo mine miravula. Adhechon kibud avayim. How far is one obligated in kibud avayim? Okay? How far? Whatever that means. We'll see. Okay? It says, Amar lahem tzu'u ure'u. Go look and see. Go out and see. Ma asa obed kochavim echad ba'ashkelon. V'doma ben asina shema. Okay? You should see what this guy did in Ashkelon, Daman and Ben Asina. Okay, you've heard these stories probably. Okay, Pam Achas Bikshu Chacham Park Machia B'Shishim Ribosar. So they want to do business. They want to do business with him with for 60,000 Schar. Ribos 10,000 Schar. Okay, and basically, the key to whatever the business dealing was under the head of his father Velotziro. And he didn't pay him. He didn't wake him up or whatever, right? Sounds extreme, right? Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty irascious. I'm stuck about Shishim Riva Dinar Zav. He gained profit. 600,000. He was sleeping. And basically, he didn't wake him up. So how far does it go? Very far. Right? It sounds almost crazy. You'd think, is your father really not wanting to wake you up? I mean, sounds like, you know, you hear the story, you know. When you hear this, you get scared every time you have to wake up your father.
No, yeah.
But sounds like almost too much. I mean, is this really? Wow.
What about for a mitzvah, though? What about for benching?
Let's see. Okay? So, that's how far. Amar Rav Yudam Rav Shmuel, Sholu Shavu Yezer, this guy did a lot of stories. Bikshu Mimenucham Avanim Leifor. They wanted the stones for the ephod. B'shishim riba schar. Okay? Rav Kani Masim v'shmonim riba schar. It was 800,000. Okay? It's machlokas. Okay? V'hayim avteach murach tamar shal shalav. And he had them. V'lo tziro. And he didn't wake him up. Again. Okay, it's got a lot of things happen. His father sees him sleeping. He sees him sleeping a lot of things, his father. The next year.
You see something.
The son of Cheres, not son of Kadosh Baruch Hu scharo. So he had a schar. He got a schar. Shenodu lo paraduma badro. So a paraduma is a rare, very rare type of par. And he happened to have this paraduma born in his flock of cows. Nichnasu chachmei shel etzlo. So they came to buy it, basically, because you know they needed it for paraduma. Nosan Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm sorry. Amar Lahem, he said, Yodeani Bachem, Shemani Mavakesh Bachem, Kal Mom Shabbalah Matanosamli. I know that I could basically ask any amount of money. Okay, this is worth, to call Yisrael, this is worth any amount of money. There's no amount of money that I'll say that you're going to say no. Ella, Einani Mavakesh Mikem, Ella Osa Mom Shev Sadati Bashul Kavaraba. But basically, I'm only going to ask for the same amount of money which I lost because of that time of Kibarav. Okay? Why? I don't know why. Right, that's a good question. Why? I mean, if he had the thing, it was worth $1 billion. Why didn't he charge $1 billion? Why should he limit himself? I mean, he had the thing. Is that a thing that I'm supposed to only? He got a schar. And on the contrary, maybe schar should be that he gets more than what he gave up. I mean, what kind of schar? He's just basically giving exactly what he gave up. What kind of thing is this? Why did he do that? I mean, why should he take only 600,000? Maybe he should take more. Okay. Then it says like this.
Also, it sounds like saying what he did before was wrong.
Uma mishena mitzuva v'osakach. Mitzuva osa lachas kama v'kama. If this is the how far, if this is the schar that they give someone, right? The Hashem gives a schar to someone who's ainu mitzuva osa, right? A goy's not mitzuva and kibbutz avayim, and yet he sees Hashem gave him such schar that he got 600,000 back. So kol shekein. If a Jew does a mitzvah like this, then he's going to get an even greater star. The Amar of Chanina, Gadol Mitzvosa, Mishen Mitzvosa. Right? Because you see, Mitzvosa is greater. Okay, and then it goes into Mitzvosa, fine. Okay. You know, let's go a little further here. Okay, a little further. This is the let's just read through. This is a digression of Mitzvosa. Let's skip actually that part, okay? Then it says, Ki also Rav Dimi, three lines on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Omar. Rav Dimi came, Omar, Pamachas Hayalova Shrikan Shalzav. Yeah, the same guy. Okay, Pamachas Rashi says it's the same guy. Dama ben Nasina, same guy. One time he was wearing this like a special lavash. The shrikan is like a Rashi says, a lavash. A kind of a thing, whatever, kind of clothing that was like made out of strings of gold. In Vihaya Yoshev and Dole Romi, and he was sitting amongst the great people of Rome. Basa Imo the Karaso Mimenu, and his mother came and ripped it off of him. The Tafcholo al Rosho, and she slapped him hit him on his head. The Yarkolo Bifanov, and she spit in his face. Velo Echlima. And he didn't embarrass her. He didn't do anything.
Okay.
So basically, these are the stories. The Gemara is asking, how far does Kibbutz Avayim go? And it basically has all these stories of this guy, Dan ben Asina, you know? So first of all, it's funny it has stories from a guy. And what's trying to show? How far does the mitzvah Kibbutz Avayim go? But this isn't the mitzvah Kibbutz Avayim. You know? I mean, you'd think it would say, how far does it go?
Poshkin.
Very far. I don't know. What's it? What exactly is this showing? I mean, is this a halacha? Is this part of the... Like, is this a halakha question? How far does Kibbutz Avayim go? I'd say you have to even get him drinks, you have to even do this. What exactly is this saying? Is this, am I mechliyev to go this far? Is this a nice, is this just trying to show me how great the inyan of Kibbutz Avayim is? Is it, I mean, if it's trying to teach me the halakha, I mean, how do you derive that this is the halakha, then you're mechliyev to do this from the guy? I mean, maybe he did it because he was a mitzchazidus. He was a great guy. I don't know. I mean, he's not. He's altogether, he's not. Even if we're a Jew, you could say, how do you know you're mechuyev to do it? And certainly, he's a guy. It has nothing to do with the halacha. So, sounds from this Gemara that it's really not. This isn't halacha. This is just like showing you how great is the mitzvah, right? Something like that. So it says, but the Rambam seems to take this a little pretty seriously, because the Rambam has in Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Vav, Halacha Zayin, and the normal test in the Kavach, Arhechon Kibbutz Avayim. How far does it go? He asks the same question. This is after he tells you that Kibbutz Avayim, you get him drinks, you get him this, you get him that, right? He says, Afilu not lo kesho zehuv mishalo. Even if he takes your money back, wallet, v'shlicho b'funav liyam, and he throw it into the sea, lo yachlam osam, you shouldn't embarrass them, v'lo yitzak b'fneim, and you shouldn't cry in front of them, v'lo yichos k'neg, don't get angry at them, el yikabal gzeros akosav yishtok, should just be makabal gzeros akosav and be quiet. V'hechon moran, and how far is their yira? Afilo hayalavosh begadim chamudos, even if you're wearing these fancy clothing. V'yoshev rosh b'fnei kal, and you're sitting in front of a whole group of people. Ubo aviv o'imo v'karu begadav, and they rip off your clothing, like this case of Adam and Sina. Ovi kuhu al rosho v'yarku b'fanav, or they hit him on his head and spit in his face. V'lo yachlam osam, you should embarrass them. El yishtok, you should be quiet. V'yira, you should be afraid, fear. V'yifachid mimelech malchayim lachem shetiva b'kach. Have an awe, a fear of the God who commanded you this. The Melech Malchim Melech commanded you this. Shilu Melech Basar V'dam Gazar Alav Davar Shehu Mitzaro Seyosam Is that? Because if a Melech Basar V'dam would command you in something even that was more painful than this, Lo Yachal Afarches B'davar, you wouldn't be able to, to perk up. Kal V'chomer L'misham Arayal Olam Beretzano. So certainly if Hashem commanded you in this.
That's assuming.
Somehow this went to kavod of God. I mean, it's funny how he did like segue from kavod of showing how far kavod of your father is to saying is that you should be afraid of the Melech Malchayim Lachem. I mean, that's
sense.
I mean, it's true. Like, yeah, but not every mitzvah you chayev to go infinitely far for. I mean, it's true it's a mitzvah, but that doesn't mean you chayev to give up everything for it. I mean, lulav. I mean, you chayev to give was 1/5, I think. I mean, there are limits in mitzvahs. So you don't just say mitzvahs to go on and on and on. There are limits in mitzvahs. So I mean, that doesn't. But the Rambam is saying this seems to be really the halacha, right? But the Rambam says even though this is the halacha, he says still a person's not allowed to be strict with this kid because odds are it'll cause him to to be a mechsha. So he says, don't do it. But I mean, the Rambam's saying these Gemaras is not just, these aren't just like Agadatas, you know what I mean? Like, if you think you're learning through these Gemaras, you skip them, think they're Agadatas, not Halacha. The Rambam brings down Halacha. So what's the Halacha? What exactly is the Halacha? Adhechon kibur avayim, how far? What's the answer? How far? These stories, this is how far? I mean, what exactly, what's the deal?